I was glad that in Derek's prayer that he was praying for our daily bread. That's our subject for our study today. And we will be thinking about the subject of prayer and specifically the petition in the Lord's Prayer, which is, give us this day our daily bread. The shorter catechism answers what we learn about prayer, what we're taught in this petition. We pray that of God's free gift that we may receive a competent portion of the good things in this life and enjoy His blessing in them. Just by way of introduction, let me comment briefly on the fact that in looking at the Lord's Prayer, you might be like some others and say that our daily bread is very common in the midst of some lofty prayers, some kingdom prayers. Some have even thought that praying for actual bread that we eat was too mundane a request to bring before the Lord. Well, my hope this afternoon is, if you've ever thought that you would lay that aside and to see that God is indeed intending for us to pray for this, and God is indeed aware of our needs and has given us this prayer request to make before Him. To start off with, let me point out that in praying for our daily bread, one thing that comes to the front very quickly is that praying for something so mundane as our daily bread speaks to the type of dependence that we have upon the Lord. What do we need to survive? Physically speaking, more than bread and water. We need to be provided for on a daily basis. And in a very real sense, that this prayer request touches on something so basic that it is fundamental for our lives. That speaks to where our dependence is. I'll ask the children a question. How long do you think you could go without eating food? Joseph, could you make it a day without eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Of course not.
I could drink water.
You could drink some water and it could make it a while. How about you, David? How long do you think you could make without eating? Not very long, huh?
Only a few hours.
Well, me too. I couldn't last very long without the food that we have on a daily basis. And let me press that just a little bit further to help you to see how this really is a kingdom prayer. Remember that the Lord's Prayer has been all about God's kingdom. And when we submit to God the things that are most basic, most fundamental to our lives, to the Lord, we are essentially submitting every aspect of our lives to the Lord. It communicates the fact that our ultimate allegiance is to a Father in heaven. Remember that the Lord's Prayer begins with, "Your kingdom come and your will be done." We're praying that the Lord would teach us and train us to submit to His will in all things. We're praying that His name would be regarded as holy, that we would show reverence for Him. And in praying for our daily bread, we are expressing really an utter dependence upon the Lord, praying for the things that we need day by day for our lives. As I reflect on this prayer request, I can't help but think about a tendency that I know that I have, and maybe you do as well. And the tendency is to come to think of myself as being self-sufficient, that I don't need any help, or maybe I only need help with the big things. For the small things in life, that I'm good, God, and don't need any help. But in the Lord's Prayer, we've been finding that God is teaching and training us to think about our lives from a kingdom perspective, and that our attitudes would reflect even the dependence that Christ has and that Christ nurtures in us. In that light, self-sufficiency is completely opposite from a kingdom-minded dependence upon the Lord. Last week I illustrated the prayer request from a camping trip. I'm going to do that again by a story that I hope will illustrate this idea of self-sufficiency. We were going on a long trail hike one day, and the goal had been identified, and we hit the trailhead, but it was a little hard to determine. There were two different paths that were in front of us, and we had to decide which one to take. And we were thinking in the big picture of things, and really goal oriented, and one looked better marked and well traveled, and we figured out just by that this must be our path, and very quickly started to head down this trail. And the director of the camping trip said something's not quite right, and got out his map and his compass, and determined that we had made a mistake. We'd taken the wrong path completely, and we're heading in the opposite direction. And we had to stop and turn around and go the other direction. Why that came to mind is the way that a self-sufficient person like myself will often approach this life is to either by routine or by sense of self-competency will make decisions about some very basic things in this life and rush along towards these larger goals that we have determined without stopping to ask any questions or to indicate where our dependence is in any sense. And I'll sometimes find myself going down a path, determining that this is where I ought to be, and by my own self-competency, exhausting myself looking for the goal when, in fact, I've gone in the wrong direction. And I finally come to the conclusion, and it's almost like this. It's like, well, I've tried everything else. I guess maybe I better pray about this. And it's the last resort, as if everything else has failed me. And so certainly the prayer couldn't hurt at this point, because everything else has been exhausted. This prayer really turns all of that attitude on its head and begins with a dependence upon the Lord, and looks at prayer not as a last resort, but as a first resort and a most basic resort, beginning with those things that are part of our everyday lives. Thankfully, God is merciful, and even though I often try to stand on my own and do things in my own strength, God does not turn away in my time of need. And what Jesus teaches in this passage is that our dependence is such that it rises right out of the fabric, out of the most common, mundane fabric of our life, that the dependence and the really almost the conversation of our life is that of dependence upon the Lord. Psalm 145 is a psalm that I think about in this context as well. It is often sung around a mealtime because it says, "The eyes of all upon you wait. Their food in season you give. Your open hand satisfies." And we sing of God's provision. And that's what this prayer request is expressing as well. The same thing that Psalm 145 does, that our dependence upon Him. Psalm 145 goes on to talk about arranging our prayers in the morning light and lifting those up before the Lord, and to find that and the rest of the Psalms that we also pray to the Lord on our beds at night. It's as if the conversation has stretched from the time we get up throughout the day to as we lay down at night, and our constant guide, our constant conversation is with the Lord. God's goodness spurs us on as well, and as we're taught by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount as well, Jesus says that when we pray to our Father, God is not like a father who, in this life, when his children ask for bread, gives them a stone, or when he asks for a fish to eat, gives him a snake. Now, I know some parents that have said that, my children would really like a snake or a stone, maybe more than bread or fish. But that's not quite the point here that's being made. When we're hungry and we cry out to God, He doesn't withhold. And the goodness of God and the goodness of our Heavenly Father is such that He knows our wants and our requests, and He fulfills. In this prayer request, we're also taught to be thankful and content. Catechism says that we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life. That's the daily bread, and to enjoy His blessing with them. And by that, I'm directing your attention to giving thanks and to be learning contentment in God's provision for us. By praying for our daily bread, Jesus is teaching us a level of contentment with the supply that He's made for our daily needs. He implicitly addresses a sin of discontentment, which very easily entangles us. There is a very powerful worldliness around us. Well, let's use the term the Bible uses. The Bible uses the term worldliness. Well, let me put it in other language that I think we can all understand on the level of VeggieTales. Madame Blueberry teaches a lesson. Do you know Madame Blueberry? Who is very sad in this life and is convinced that she would be happy if she could just go down to the store that's called Stuff Mart and get anywhere from teddy bears, lawnmowers, scuba gear, bungee cords, clothes, toys, the latest, greatest computer gadgets, an air compressor. I was trying to remember what it was that caused your house to finally, or treehouse finally tips over. It's so loaded. But she finds out she's not happy, and finds others that are happy without having gone to Stuff Mart. And we do need to say that sin is not wrapped up in things or in stuff, and I would even say it's not wrapped up in wanting things per se. If it's balanced, God gives us desires for things, but the sin is when that wanting it becomes cut off from the kingdom, and when it becomes cut off from the king and becomes self-centered and revolving around our own desires. 1 John calls this worldliness and warns us of how deadly worldliness is. And it's materialism and envy and covetousness are all wrapped up in this. But there is a very strong sense of worldliness and materialism in our own culture that really breeds discontent, and that entangles us in a way that turns our attention away from enjoying the measure of the good things that God has given to us and being content with them. God teaches us to be thankful and content on a daily basis, and to be content with the providence that He has shown to us. Let me also suggest that the kingdom nature of this prayer comes through again when you think of it in this way. It stands over and against the self-centered tendency that commonly plagues us. And one of the studies that I've read on the Lord's Prayer by G.I. Williamson reflects on it by saying, "All false religion tends to be man-centered. It tends to make man the important thing rather than God. Prayer, therefore, tends to become a means whereby man gets done what he wants done. Thus, we may hear people boast of the fact that they prayed for a great sum of money and got it, or a newer model of car, or etc. There is the feeling that whatever they want, they can get because of what they call, quote, the power of prayer. Instead, Williamson says, Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, having God's kingdom work and God's glory in mind, and not our own." In this light, I found it helpful to ask and answer the question, is it right to pray for earthly blessings, such as financial prosperity for ourselves and others? And another commentator that I've been reading, named Voss, asks this question and answers it based on what the scriptures say about this. He says, "Certainly this is right, and we ought to do it, but always subordinating that request to the will of God as his fatherly wisdom seems best. We may pray for financial prosperity and similar earthly blessings, provided that we pray that if it is God's will, that He will give them to us. We have no way of knowing in advance whether or not such will is His will." In other words, we ask rising out of the contentment where we are, and the contentment that if God does not grant that we are satisfied with how He has providentially blessed us in that instant. Finally, on this request, and very quickly, let me point out that this prayer request should also be understood in the midst of what we often call the use of means. Here, the larger catechism is very helpful when it says that we pray these things with an attitude of waiting upon the providence of God from day to day in the use of lawful means. What is being described there is that as we have need for daily food, We are utterly dependent upon the Lord to provide those things. And in a very real sense, we are ultimately unable to provide even what we need day by day. Ultimately, our daily bread comes from God's providence. And we need to rest in Him that He would provide. At the same time, as we are utterly dependent upon God to provide those things, God gives us means to accomplish the provision for that. In other words, we pray that God would provide, and then we work. God has provided jobs for us to do so that we can provide for ourselves and for our family. We understand that this is one of the ways that God provides for us and answers these prayer requests. We pray to God for medical conditions. We pray that God would heal, and God is able to do so miraculously. But we also make use of means, and it's not a lack of faith to go to doctors and to use the means that He has provided, and all the while praying in utter dependence that God would use those means as we faithfully apply them to our situation. Those are two very common instances where we have daily needs and very basic needs for our lives where we can exercise faith and make a proper use of the means that God has given to us. And those two things are not contradictory. They are wed together, and they are brought together well as we live out this this kingdom prayer and kingdom life. Well, the thoughts that I'm going to leave aside for now and close our time here by asking if there are any questions or comments on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. I'd like you to bow together in prayer as we close. God, I'm thankful that we can come to You as a heavenly Father, and to one who has shown over and over again how You bestow good things upon Your children, and that encourages us to exercise faith and encourages us to cast ourselves more and more in dependence upon You. And Lord, we confess before You the temptation to become self-sufficient. And as we pray for our daily bread, teach us what daily dependence means and how kingdom-focused that is. We also, Lord, confess the sin of worldliness and how easy it is to become distracted by the stuff of this world. We ask, Lord, that You would help us to fight against worldliness, to root it out in our own lives, and to be content with Your providence in our lives. And God, as we use the means that You have given to us, we do so not out of self-sufficiency, Lord, but out of a responsibility and out of exercise of faith. And again, Lord, we ask that You would be teaching us day by day what that looks like. And as we come to You with our requests, help us to ask in faith and ask looking to You as our King who provides for His kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.